I have a praise first. I have been praying. We've been praying for a young man named Gage Calder. He's a 13-year-old that fell out of a pickup and had severe brain damage. I've been checking in on his mom's page, and they had him, the physical therapy had him doing stairs yesterday.
That's wonderful.
That just, it just happened the end of May. So I was pleasantly surprised that Z's up doing that much. We want to remember to pray for Monica and Kaylin. They're going to court this morning to dissolve the guardianship. Monica asked for a favor in the courtroom and a smooth transition for all of them. Neva asked us to pray for Chandler Hoffman, who had gallbladder surgery this morning. And my friend Angela's mom, Viola Romero, is scheduled for back surgery at 12 p.m. today, and she's got a lot of underlying issues, so it's going to be a critical situation.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for touching Gage Calder, Lord, for what's going on with him. Father, we just decree over him that there's continued recovery. And Father, we just ask that you be with his family, that you give them strength. These times can be trying, but Lord, you're there. And your word says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run like an eagle. And Father, we just thank you they'll mount up like an eagle. We thank you for that for them. And Lord, we just thank you for what is going on in Monica's family today. And Father, we just thank you that you are truly a God of restoration. And this is a time, Lord, that we believe for your favor in the courtroom. And, Lord, that there will be a smooth transition for this child and for Monica's family. We thank you, Lord, that you're with Chandler Hoffman. And, Lord, that you're just guiding the hands of the surgeon. Give them wisdom and what to do, and as well as Viola Romero, Father, for her back surgery. And Lord, we just say that the healing balm of the Lord is over these surgeries in Jesus' name, that there will be no complication, no infection, Lord, that you will just empower, and Lord, that these bodies will return to wholeness. We thank you for doctors, Lord, that you've given them the wisdom that they need. Father, all wisdom comes from you, and so we thank you for that today, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Monica said, praise report. We just got out of the court, and Angel is going home with his mama.
Aww. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. We hope.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Miss Laura Nell Hayes, and her title is Identity. Back to you.
Thank you, Tina. Well, I was thinking when you graciously said what had happened this morning in the courtroom with Monica, it's been interesting to watch that unfold. Mm-hmm. And she certainly has been in a place that she has listened to the wisdom of God over and over and walked the path. And look at the end result. It's exciting.
It is.
Very exciting. I want to talk a little bit about our soul versus our spirit this morning. Our soul is comprised of 3 things: our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our will is the strongest thing in there. Now, some people's emotions are really all over the place too, but it takes the choice or the power of the will to go forward in something. You see what I'm saying? So, we have this spirit man inside of us. It tells us that the soul is the outer man, and the outer man of the soul, which connects us with the world around us. The inner man of the spirit lives only in one place, and that's in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. That's where our spirit man lives. That's why it's called the inner man. The spirit is a secret place where God's spirit mingles with your spirit. And I'm telling you, there is no better place. There's such true satisfaction in that place.
Mm-hmm.
All of your anointing is going to come from within. It's not going to come to you externally. It's going to come from within. So that's why it's important to spend time with the inner man in the presence of God. Now, we can all let all the soulic activity rob us of that. Your spirit rules your soul, and your spirit ruling your soul overcomes your circumstance. Here's the thing. If you're living in your soul, then you're going to be touched by the world, the flesh, and the devil. A lot of people blame stuff on the devil, and it's nothing but their flesh, you
right.
know.
Yes.
You're going to be touched by situations, and you're going to be easily subdued. You really have to overcome. You're going to be anxious, you're going to be worried, you're going to be fearful, you're going to panic, you're going to run toward doubt and unbelief because your soul is being affected by all of the things around it. The reason it's being affected is because we do not know that our inner man of the spirit is more powerful. A lot of people let their soul rule. Your inner man only lives in the presence of God. One of the things we're practicing is how to step back into that inner place of the spirit where God lives. Our spirit man is just in the presence of God. It's not touched by the world all around us. Our spirit man knows how to think. He knows well. Soulish Christianity says that knowledge is a thing of the mind, but in the spirit, knowledge is the affair of the heart. In soulish Christianity, what we're saying to people is, I've heard it in my head, but now I'm waiting for it to make an 18-inch drop into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. God never speaks to your head. He doesn't speak to your head. He speaks to your spirit, and he speaks to the inner man. Have you ever noticed all the commotion that could go on in your head?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of stuff going on. But when you truly hear from God, it's from within, like your innermost being. I believe that's where our spirit man lives, in our innermost. The mind of Christ comes from within, explodes into your conscious thinking. God does not speak to your head and then actually try to put your heart into order with your head. He puts your head in divine order with your heart. And it's that spirit man that has to rule. The inner man of the spirit rules so that when we step back into our spirit, we hear God's words and the words of his heart. I remember one time, this was just after my first husband had passed away, and I had gone back to Oregon to visit his family. That was a very difficult thing for me to do. But I knew that I needed to. And did I have some soulic stuff going on? You bet I did. But you know what was so cool? I will never forget. I was rolling my suitcase down the front step, actually it was a walkway, and I heard a voice behind me. It was the audible voice of God behind me. And I heard him say, "You will not leave here like you came." And it was so empowering that I knew it was the truth. And I was strengthened in the going. And that's the way our inner man does. It's so clear when you hear the voice of God. It eradicates doubt. It eradicates unbelief. It just is clear. So that's a way that I determine which voice I'm hearing. Is it my soulic realm or is it my inner man talking? When you got all this jumbling going on and blah, 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 you know, it's like confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Just things whirring in your head. But when you hear the voice of God, it is so direct. And you know it. And it can come from within. It doesn't have to be audible. That was, I guess God thought I needed an audible voice in that moment. Maybe I did. So, what we're learning is to be wise in the ways of God. This means we understand how God sees us. We understand how God thinks. And you know, that's the value of reading the Word of God. That's how you get to know how He thinks, mm-hmm. what He says. And then we understand Him. And it's just a given in a moment of decision. And a lot of times when I'm in a decision-making time, I hear the Word of the Lord. That's within me, because I have planted it there. I've sought that word, and it'll just rise up, and it is so direct.
I like those moments, because sometimes after I read the word, a little bit later I'll be like, "What did I even read?" But then when I need it, it does rise up, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I did get that in." Sometimes it doesn't seem like it.
Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about obedience last week,
mm-hmm.
and that's a part of obedience, is being diligent to hide that word in our heart. And the word says to hide the word of God in your heart that you won't sin against mm-hmm. him. And so it does. It rises up. There's a peace because you're living in the rest of God. You're living in the presence of God. And we have a peace that the world can't take away from us. You know, the word says neither life nor death nor powers nor principalities nor things present nor things to come can rob us of peace. We are living from the inside to the outside. We do not go looking for clues. We do not go looking for God out there. We go looking for God in here, because that's where He is, inside of us. And there's a quiet place inside of all of you, me, mm-hmm. everyone listening to us today. There's a quiet place there if you've accepted Jesus. So we have to practice living there and being still in that place. What do you do to calm your mind when it's going in 100 directions? What do you do, Tina?
A lot of times I'll just do praise and worship or just sit in the quiet. Sometimes I have to ask the Lord to quiet my mind mm-hmm. because it won't stop. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to ask Him to help me.
Mm-hmm. All of those things work. And I can remember in certain places in my life when I was in such great turmoil and such heavy-heartedness, nothing but the Word of God would steal that. But whenever I would position myself to read the Word, then I would get a breakthrough, you know. It's a really powerful concept. I like to live and rest, don't you?
Yes.
I like to flow and move and rest. And, you know, with that comes a rhythm. And I like to say it like this, it's ebb and flow. You know, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's ebb and flow. And we talked about the river last week and how we get in that and we just go with it. And there's life in the river of God. The Bible says that we can be fruitful, but then we have to be pruned. Being pruned is fun. I like to garden. So, you know, when those dead things are on there, they just bother me. I want them off. And a lot of times God speaks to me in gardening, you know, just it's a really neat thing. Eva's saying me too over there. Being pruned is great for us because you only get pruned back to Jesus. That's what happens. And the old gets taken off. Pruning means that you're about to have an experience of God so amazing, it will make you even more fruitful later on. So pruning is good. The brilliant thing about pruning is sometimes God gives you a time out so that you can just be with Him and not even do ministry. Just be quiet, you know. Sometimes you need that sabbatical. Just pulled away. I've done that before, and I really believe that I heard the voice of the Lord more clearly after that. You know, if we have ministry before we have relationship, there's a problem. Because only can ministry flow out of relationship. It has to be in that order. It's what causes burnout.
Right.
Yes. Sometimes, though, you get pruned in the middle of busyness. God says to do ministry, but do not think about it too much. Or we will make sure that it works, but we enjoy. This is what you and I are doing together, and this is what I'm being in you. And there's sometimes that I've just had to be in Him and just follow. Just be. Just be and follow. That deals with the frustration level. You know, instead of being all upset about what is or isn't happening, just to be. Whichever way God does it, you know it's going to be great. He does the right thing. To become a mature son of God, we have to be led by the Spirit from the inner man so that we are ruled from within. After that, reframing, putting in the right frame around the picture of ourselves guarantees a transformation. Because it renews our mind and we become spiritually minded, we must begin with a different appraisal of events. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:6. It says, "You do not speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." That's 1 Corinthians 2:6-8. Do you think if the devil had known that Jesus was going to be crucified on a tree, he would have left any tree in Israel standing? Probably not. "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ears not heard, which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And that's how it gets revealed to us. Now, as we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12. So let's just look at the spirit of the world. What do you think that means, spirit of the world?
Spirit of the world is the Antichrist spirit, isn't it?
It includes logic, reason, rationale, intellectualism, philosophy. Oh my goodness, do we have philosophy in this world? The philosophy of man, the doctrines of man. It's interesting to me that doctrines of man and doctrines of devils is in the same passage in Scripture. So we have to know that we are hearing from the Spirit of God. The spirit of the world is contained in the way in which they think about those things and the way in which they view things. Look at Harvard University and what it teaches today compared to how it was founded. Such a difference. The world is a problem-solving universe. Heaven is not. And the reason for that is, guess what? There's no problems in heaven. Jesus came to the world with the language and the thought practices of heaven, and he came talking about possibilities. He never talked about a problem because heaven does not view things as a problem. It only views them as a possibility. And that's the one thing that I've learned in my life. Rather than focusing on the negative and doing the ho-hum of that whole thing, is always say, well, I wonder what the upgrade is in this. Yes. And that really does help me. Jesus said, all things are possible. All you have to do is believe. He didn't say, all problems can be solved if you think right. He said, everything is a possibility, and you get to believe. In other words, you get to trust, and you get to see things before they are created. You get to believe in stuff. Logic, reason, rationale never goes down that road. We have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. What does that mean? Well, I believe that in every situation there's a gift. Every circumstance has a gift. Sorry, my throat's acting weird. Why? Because all the negative is designed to showcase what God is doing. You know, if you've ever done needlepoint or tapestry, and you're looking at the front, and you know, it looks pretty good, but you turn it over in the back, and it's just a bunch of jumbled threads, knots, and this and that. Well, sometimes that's where we're focused, is on the knots and the threads. On the back side, instead of seeing the true tapestry that is being tatted out for us through God. God will showcase everything. That means every circumstance that we face, every circumstance, is a gift. Now just think, if we looked at it like that, how it changes our thinking, how we react to it. So we have received the spirit of this world that we might know what is freely given to us by God in the situation that we're in. I want to read this scriptures. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. It's a game-changing thought because it changes the game when things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised and discerned. But he who is spiritual appraises and judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we can rest assured that he will instruct us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he will lead us and guide us in all of his ways. Appraisal means to evaluate the worth and significance and the status of the thought you're having. That's a powerful statement. Do you think that you need to think about your thinking? Really? This is what we are doing. We are evaluating our thinking. Is this Jesus? Probably not. Colossians 3:2-3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You have to think from a completely different realm. We are not conditioned any longer to think as the world around us thinks. I've often said I've been like a salmon most of my life, swimming upstream. Because I don't think like those around me. I never have, you know. I guess it's just something that God conditioned me. And, you know, as I was faithful in that, I could see where God gave me favor. One instance that I think about was among my classmates when I was in school. You know, there was a favor that I had because I stood for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank the Lord for his wisdom. And I guess ever since I was a little girl, I've wanted to please him. Have I failed? Yes. But there was always that desire in my heart to have a steady upward climb of a renewed mind in Christ and to live as he would have me live. So, we do think in a different realm, don't we? We're not of this world. We, in our appraisals, set a value on thinking properly. We do not deal with negativity because negative thoughts come from your flesh. It didn't come from the Spirit. That is a nugget in mm-hmm. itself right there. So, if all your thinking has brought you to a place you do not like, have another thought. And that's what repentance means, to think again
mm-hmm.
and to turn around. We can just keep having a better thought. You know, last week I gave a challenge to just pay attention to the negativity that would try to come in and basically to have another thought. And yesterday we were working at the rent house and all this stuff started coming out of my mouth and I was like, oh, I need to have another thought. You know? And it just stopped me. And that was a prayer that I prayed Monday night, if you mm-hmm. remember, that the Holy Spirit would check us in our negativity. And, well, you know, when you pray the prayer, you get the test.
Yes. That's so,
so I was able to change my verbiage, you know. Talk like heaven, not hell. You guys have any comments?
That's a challenge sometimes.
Yes, it is a challenge. That's the second battle that I was talking about early on in holding that ground that mm-hmm. we gain. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments, Neil? Or no. Eva?
Enjoy the message.
Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is the law of spiritual appraisal, is that we never deal with a negative thought. We replace it with a thought that Jesus would have instead. The law of appraisal. Can't let it come home to our house. Can't let it live in our spare bedroom. It's not a lodger. It's not your friend. So we exchange a negative thought for a better thought from the Spirit, and we deal with that. So, if you're out there listening this morning, and this message has touched your heart, I want you to just repeat this with me. Would you guys too as well? I should never deal.
I should never deal.
With a negative thought.
With a negative thought.
I can ignore it.
I can ignore it.
And exchange it.
And exchange it.
For a better thought.
For a better thought.
That comes to me from the life and the spirit.
That comes to me from the life and the spirit.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
So be it, right? Negative thinking is caused by a negative picture. So the mind of the spirit reframes that thought into a much better picture. The reason you think negative is because you are not seeing something. When we reframe, what happens in that new picture pops out. That is what I should be seeing. That's what we should be going on with us. You ever reframe something and it just looked totally different in the new frame?
I'm not much of a decorator, okay. But I can picture that.
Yeah. So, reframing is about changing how we picture things, our thinking. If it's rooted in the old you, can become a stronghold of the enemy that makes us captive to perceptions that impact negativity on our emotions. So, if it's rooted in the old, it can become a stronghold of the enemy that makes us captive to perceptions that impact negatively on our emotions. Did we get it yet? You want me to say it again?
Reset.
Okay. Our thinking, if it's rooted in the old man, can become a stronghold of the enemy that makes us captive to perceptions that impact negativity on our emotions. Or, think about this. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses.
That's another one of my favorites.
2 Corinthians 10:3-4. We are destroying speculations. They are wrong thinking. Speculations, my goodness, they can take you somewhere that you don't even want to go. Speculations are where we believe the worst thoughts rather than the best. Speculations are lines of thought that lead us down lanes of negativity into distress, grief, despair, unbelief, and so on. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. It is talking about knowledge by experience. We cannot be talked out of an encounter with God. We want to experience Him and not pay attention to our natural mind. That's what our natural mind wants. It feeds on information. Your spirit doesn't need information. Well, that's an eye-opener in itself, is it not? Your natural mind wants details. Details, especially if you're choleric. Personality. We want to know what is happening, what's happened, what's the result of this thing, and how do we do it? All this stuff before we do something. And Tina, your verse is here, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The heart is the inner man. Trust in the Lord with all your inner man, and do not lean to all that rambling in your head. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. If logic, reason, and rationale was the way in which we should go, we would not need faith or trust.
That's right.
The Bible talks more about faith and trust than it ever does about logic and reason. In fact, the only time He talks about reason is when you have sinned. You know, then He said, come, let us reason together. He has something to say. And then He tells you something that your reason cannot cope with. Let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. That's Isaiah 1:18. What? I would just turn red into white and it will be cool? That's not logical, but that's how God works. He is supernatural. It means, this passage means, new man thinking destroys fortresses, destroys speculation, and anything contrary to the brilliance of God, anything contrary to the nature of God, which is love, joy, peace, kindness, grace, and mercy. That's the fruit that we want. Thank you.
That was a good word. I'm excited for Monday.
Yeah.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, from Miss Eva, and from our sister in Christ, Larnell Hayes. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
Today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.